First Samuel 17, verse 45 to verse 50. And I will read. Are you there? Then said David to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee in my hand, and I'll smite thee and take your head from thee. I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Praise the name of the Lord. I love the theme of this conference, that we be steadfast and movable and always abounding. Not that it is always abounding, not sometimes abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. If you look at 1 Corinthians verse 57, says, it's God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ. So to be steadfast and movable and abounding, you have to be hooked onto the real power. Praise the name of the Lord. And the real victory does not come from you trying to be steadfast, to be unmovable and abounding. The real power and victory really comes from being hooked to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because alone we cannot do it. But with him, we can do all things. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We just read about the story of the Philistines and the Israelites. The Israelites had seen many things that God had done for them. And yet it came to a time when they were fighting with the Philistines and they forgot who they serve. Praise the name of the Lord. And sometimes we are like the Israelites. There are times that God would call you to a task, and you feel that you are inadequate to that task. You feel that the task is too great for you. Has anybody been there? When God tells you to do something, and you wonder, God, me, little me, you are asking me to do that. I don't have the money, I don't have the power, I don't have the means. But when God calls you, how many of you know that he will keep you for the job? Praise the name of the Lord. Because church is not about you. It's about him. It's not about what you can do. Because really, you can't do anything. But when you are hooked to the power, there is nothing that you cannot do. Praise the name of the Lord. So even when the task is so big, when we are hooked to the Lord, we can do anything. There are times that we are confronted with mountains that look so great that we wonder, Lord, how can I conquer this mountain? There are times that you are confronted with a valley. When you are down in the valley and you wonder, God, how can I ever come up? Because when I look to the side, there is a wall. When I look to the left and the right and the back, there is a wall. Because I'm deep in the valley, and really, how can I come up? But that's the best time. You know, when you're in the valley, that is the best time. Because the only place you can look is where? Up. There is no other place. Because it's really not about you, but what God can do through you. Praise the name of the Lord. How many of you have been in a battle that you saw no escape? You saw no light at the end of the tunnel. Anybody in the house? All these Kenyans have had a good time. Nobody has been in a battle. In a battle where there was no light at the end of the tunnel, you really did not see any way out. But if you are here today, it means you saw a way out. Amen? Otherwise, you wouldn't be in this meeting this morning. Even when the battle is so great and we never see a way out, God always leaves a way of escape. That's what I love about our God. That there is usually a little window. No matter how many pounds you have, the window will be enough for you to slide through. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he's not going to leave a window that is for a skinny person when you are not a skinny person. He will make sure that the window is a space where you can squeeze through and get through. You might squeeze through that window. You might get a few bruises because you are overweight, but you come through. Praise the name of the Lord. Because church, we are going through. We are not stuck here. We are going through stuff. But at the other end, we are more than conquerors. We have already conquered. See, well, God does not look at where we are. He looks at the victory. Because he has already given us the victory. We tend to see things more in the physical than in the spiritual. But if God had to open our eyes to see in the spiritual all the time, many of us would walk with our heads up high because we would just see victory, 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 victory. Because that is what God is seeing. He sees the victory. Before you came from the village in Kenya, God saw your victory anyway. Praise the name of the Lord. Because it was ordained from the foundation for you to be victorious because you are the child of the living God. Because really, as we have just read, it's not my battle. It is not my battle. It is his battle. So no matter what battle comes my way, I can say, Father, it's not my battle, it's your battle. You go ahead and fight. Because when he fights, I know I have victory. So the story we just read, the Israelites were faced with this situation. They were fighting the Philistines, and they saw one giant, Goliath, and they were scared. And the Bible says for 40 days, they were waiting for God to do something. You know, the enemy enjoys it when we are stuck. He can wake up, Bishop said yesterday, 2,000. He said 200 or 2,000 demons are sent your way every morning. And when you are stuck and scared, you think they are not enjoying you? They are enjoying you, isn't it? And so the Bible says for 40 days they were stuck and waiting for God to take the first step. But do you know God was waiting for them to believe and trust him? That the same God who had delivered them in the past can still deliver them again. The same God who had delivered them from an army can deliver them from one person. But they forgot what God had done. And we are like the Israelites. They were God's people. God had given them the land, and yet they were scared. The Philistines were trespassers. The devil is a trespasser. He should not be in my business because he doesn't belong to me. Praise the name of the Lord. And Goliath was enjoying, and the Bible says he was calling them names. Every morning he would wake up and say, you come and fight me, and I'll cut your head off. And they were scared. Even King Saul was scared. And King Saul was anointed with oil. He was supposed to have the anointing of God on his life. He was anointed, but he was still scared of the giant. And sad to say, this is a picture of the church today. This is a picture of the church. Our enemy, the devil, and his demons is claiming territories and people and your blessings. And what are we doing? We stand in fear and do nothing. This is the exact picture of our church today. We spend time bickering and fighting with each other than really fighting the enemy. Instead of fighting the enemy, we are fighting each other. What kind of an army will survive if they fight each other and they don't fight the enemy? They're going to kill each other, isn't it? And that's the picture of the church today. We have one common enemy. And if we are united and fight that one common enemy, we are going to win, isn't it? But if we are divided, the enemy knows that we can never win. Praise the name of the Lord. So God is calling us to stand and possess what is yours. Stand and possess what is yours. Because God has already given to you. The price has been paid. Jesus paid it all and he said it is finished. There's nothing else that God needs to do. He has given us dominion. All we need to go in and take it. Praise the name of the Lord. When we remember that the battle is not ours, then we can trust God for everything. God is looking for people who will stand and take the risk by faith in possessing what is theirs. You have to have the faith and trust that God is on your side, that you'll be able to possess that what is yours. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says David used a stone, not the stones Bishop was telling about, not the ones you are buying from Kenya. Different kind. It was an ordinary stone. The stone had no power. It was just a stone. But I'm sure the power of the Holy Spirit was on that stone, because the Holy Spirit directed that stone to go straight to the forehead. It would have missed the mark. I mean, this is a big giant. He could have hit any other part. But the Holy Spirit directed it to go and hit the right place where it would injure and kill the giant. Praise the name of the Lord. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Praise the name of the Lord. That is our stone. I don't have to go buying stone $10,000, 10,000 shillings. I have the real stone, the power of the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I swing that power of the Holy Spirit, and I swing this, the power of the word, the demons have no choice than to flee. Praise the name of the Lord. And therefore, I don't have to go looking for other things, because God has put that in us, and we have it because it is our inheritance. Praise the name of the Lord. David, the Bible says, did not even have a sword. Remember that Saul tried to ask him to wear his armor. The armor was too heavy. And for me, the armor thing brings to mind all the baggages we think, all the rituals we have. You know, we like rituals and we like putting God in a box. God is so simple. He just wants us to love him and come to him as children. Blessed are they who go to God as children. They will inherit the land because they have no baggages. Children have no baggages. And that's how God wants us to go to him. With no baggages, just as simple children, going to a father who loves them, a father who gave everything for us, that we may have whatever he has given us. We may have dominion. We may possess the land. Praise the name of the Lord. We may possess the healing. We may possess the deliverance. We may possess the miracles and the wonders. Because it is ours. Praise the name of the Lord. He has already given to us. We do not need to do anything else. It's by grace. Praise the name of the Lord. Because we are the children of the living God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I don't know what giants are preventing you from moving higher in the ways of the Lord. What are the giants in your life? And there we can have a lot of things that are representative of a giant in our life. Because the giants in your life will prevent you from moving into the ways of the Lord. The giants in your life will prevent you from doing God's work. The giants in your life will prevent you from growing as a believer. Praise the name of the Lord. What is it that you are holding on to? Or what is it that is holding on to you that you cannot let go, and so that you can be steadfast and movable and abounding in the work of the Lord? What is that giant that is holding your ministry, that your ministry cannot move on to where God had ordained it right from the foundation of the world? Praise the name of the Lord. We have giants in our lives. Ask your neighbor, what is your giant? Hallelujah. Because we have giants that prevent us. I want to declare this morning that those giants have to leave. for us to be steadfast and movable, abounding in the work of the Lord, the giants have to leave. Praise the name of the Lord. Some of the giants that we have is compromise. Compromise. You know, you can get to the point where you become so desensitized to anything that you see. For example, when we saw 9/11, we had the initial first shock, isn't it? But the whole month, as you continued watching, that shock was not there. It never shocked you. So you get to the point where sin does not bother you anymore. Praise the name of the Lord. And my people, we are very good at taking shortcuts. Can I speak to my people today? We are good at taking shortcuts. And we say God will understand. God does not understand sin. The Bible says he is holy and he wants us to be holy. If the Bible says that, he knows it is possible to be holy. Again, it's not because of your power. It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you really trust in God, and if you know that God brought you to this country, can God sustain you? Can God open doors for you? Can God provide for you without you compromising your faith? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can God sustain us where we say, God, we are going to be steadfast? Even if I die without compromise, whatever the other people are doing, I'll wait for you. Can you wait for God and see if God is not faithful? Praise the name of the Lord. Because some of the giants that we have in our lives is we want to work for God. We want to go ahead of him. We want God to bless our mess. We do our plans which are not even godly, and we ask God to pray. We ask people to pray for something that, you know, is not even God's plan. But can we be steadfast in what the word says and do what the word says and wait for God to come through for us? Praise the name of the Lord. Because we are leaving a legacy for our children. If your children see you compromising, then how are your children going to grow in faith as believers? Because this is the legacy you are leaving. See, our children see what we do more than what we tell them. Pastors, let me talk to the pastors. It is not you are going to church every week, every day. Some of you go to church every day. It is what your children see you doing at home. That is what is going to draw them. You know, in Kenya, they used to say pastors' children are bad children. Have you heard that? That pastors' children never turn out right? You know why? Because they never saw that example at home. They saw the man and the woman in the church looking all nice and holy, but at home, it wasn't there. We have to leave a legacy for our children so that they can follow the ways of the Lord. We have to leave a legacy for the young adults, for the youth, so that they know that God is faithful. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you prepared to take dominion about what God has given you? Because God has already given you. We have to learn to stand on the promises of God and take him at his word. Can we stand on the promises? Is God true? Only one sister knows that. Is God true? Dr. Njoroge, is God true to you? Has he been faithful to you? Has he been faithful to this organization? If God is faithful, why can't we stand on his promises? Why can't we stand on his word, even when things are difficult? Praise the name of the Lord. How will you stand unmovable when you are standing on sinking sand? Because if you stand on sinking sand, you are not going to be unmovable. You are not going to be steadfast. At some point, you are going to shake, isn't it? You have to stand on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only rock that I know that is unmovable. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our faith does not change with fashions and times, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. God does not care that you are educated. The word doesn't change. There is no word for the educated people and the word for the poor people. The poor people need more word than the educated people. There is no word for males or female. In God, we are all the same. That word does not change. Fashions will come and go, but the word does not change. The word doesn't care whether it is the 21st century. It's the same word. Praise the name of the Lord. We do not change the word because we are in a modern society or because we are in America now, the word has changed. The same word we used to have and preach in Kenya is the same word we have today. If we remember that that word doesn't change, then we have to be unmovable and steadfast so that we can do the work of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Paul says that we must win. We must run the race to win and focus on the prize at the end. Because the problem with human beings, we tend to focus on what is tangible, what we can see. But we as believers, we need to focus on what we can't see with our eyes, what we can see with our spiritual eyes. Praise the name of the Lord. Because at the end, there is a prize. How many of you believe there is a prize at the end? Wow. Kenya Christian Fellowship. You know how many people believe there is a prize? About 20 people. Is there a prize at the end? Are you sure? Are you sure? Maybe somebody lied to you that there is a prize. And at the end you find there was no prize. Are you very sure in your heart that there is a prize at the end? And so if we know there is a prize, like the runners, they know they are either going to get the gold medal or the silver medal, or those Boston runners, they know there is a prize of money at the end. And so they run so that they can win. I don't think you'd get into a race and hope that you can lose. I don't think you get into a race knowing that there is a time limit and then say, maybe I'll stop and talk on my cell phone. Or maybe I'll send a text message to my friend. You are going to lose big time, isn't it? You cannot be distracted if you are in the race. This is a race we are in. People of God, it's a race. You cannot afford to be distracted. Because the moment you are distracted, then you are losing the race. Praise the name of the Lord. And there are so many distractions out there. We must not look back. We must look forward, focus on where we are going with God. Otherwise, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt, like Lot's wife. People who look back never win the race. There's no time to look back. The Bible says redeeming the time because time is short. There's no time to look back. There's no time to look at your friend. You know, I say some of the people, we have to drag them into heaven. Just pull them. Don't look back. Just hold their hands. They may be resisting. Let's drag them to heaven. Because we don't want to leave anybody behind. Praise the name of them. I'm sure you have friends and relatives like that. You feel like you can shake them to believe in Jesus. But we can drag them through our prayers. And you can drag them by your faithfulness. But if you are not faithful, you are not going to take anyone with you. Because they are looking at your life. See, you are the open Bible. Some people never read the Bible, but they are watching you. They are watching you to see what you are doing. Praise the name of the Lord. In Genesis, we read the story of Esau. The Bible says that he was a firstborn. And a firstborn, he had a birthright. And because of his stomach, he sold his birthright. Just because of his stomach. He was not that hungry that he was going to die. But he wanted an immediate thing that would satisfy him. He wanted something tangible that he could touch and eat to satisfy his hunger. But he forgot that there was a birthright which was more important than putting food in your stomach. Many of us are like Esau. You know, we read that story and we think, oh, you sold everything for your stomach. But many of us are like that. We want what is tangible.
We want what we can get now. We want that green card now. So I'm going to get married to a mzungu so I can get my green card, or I'm going to do other things so I can get this paper, because it's tangible. But you forget that there's something more important, your birthright. Your birthright at the end, which is more important. You know, even if you get a green card, you still die. It doesn't give you eternal life. Or because it is not even green. I don't know why they call it green. You think a green card is going to make you better in heaven? It's good to have one. But does not add anything to your Christian life. Zero. You are not going to get to heaven and God say, "Oh, you welcome my daughter, son. You had a green card." It does not count in the Lord's kingdom. But can we trust God to provide those green cards in the right way? We have compromised too much. Our own people have compromised. The green card has become an exchange for eternal life. So I'll give my birthright of eternal life so you can give me this green card. And we have compromised over and over. Some people with families, they are living. How can you leave your husband or wife so that you get married to someone to get a green card? So you are compromising the whole life. The whole life. Just because of something an American called a green card. People, our country is not that bad. Kenya is the best country. If you have to be sent home, when I go to Kenya, I'm going to Kenya in July. This month is July? In 2 weeks. When you go to Kenya, when I go to Kenya for a month, come back, when I go back to work, people say, "Wow, what happened? I look younger. I have no stress. I remember what it means to laugh. I remember what social life is all about. I remember what it is to get into somebody's house and just say, 'I was passing by and I thought I should come in.'" And drink tea. I've lived in my neighborhood for how many years? 15 years now. I know their first name, some of them, but it is, "Hi. We have never visited each other 15 years. Because unless I need something, unless I make an appointment, the white person will not ask me to go into their house because it's not their culture." But in Kenya, you make mokimo, you say, "I have too much, I'll give to my neighbor." People, our country is not that bad. If you have to, God can bless you in Kenya. You know that? I took my children to Kenya 2 years ago. For a long time, they had not gone. We went to visit friends in Lunda. And they were like, "Mommy, this is Kenya? It's better than America." Those people are living well. They are living well. So don't have the mentality that America is heaven. It's not heaven. We are suffering here. It's true. Our people are working 3-4 jobs. Some of you change in the cars. They have nice cars, they have nice houses, and they have nice couches, but with the paper on, because they never sit on them. They have nice beds, but they don't sleep in them. Is that the life you want? I like what my brother said, invest in Kenya. Otherwise, you are going to end up in a nursing home. We won't come to see you. Invest in Kenya. You grow old in this country, you end up in a nursing home, and they sell your house. You can't keep your house and live in a nursing home. One thing has to go. So invest in your country. Kenya is a beautiful country. So let's not compromise. Let's not give our birthright for the sake of papers. God can give you papers. And God can bless you even without papers. And God can bless you here. God can bless you in Kenya. God can bless you in Congo, even among the pygmies. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because he is God. And he is not a man that he should lie. The spirit of compromise has to die today. Amen. That spirit has killed our families. That spirit has killed our children. Because our children have seen you compromising. And then you tell them, let's go to church. Let's go and pray. When they know you compromise, they're not going to listen to you. They don't think that God is real because of the compromise. That has to die this morning. We are going to walk out of here trusting that the God, Jehovah God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made the stars and the moon and the sun, the one who created the first Adam, is able and more than able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ever dream or even ask, because he is our God. We are not going to compromise anymore. We are going to trust him. And my sisters and my brothers, if you die trusting him and nothing happens, you're still going to heaven anyway. Because when you compromise, you never give a testimony. You know when they compromise, they never come and tell the church, I compromised and the devil gave me this. Because it's a compromise, isn't it? Praise the name of the Lord. But when God comes through for you, then you can say, God, I give you glory. Because I know it is not a man who helped me. It's not a woman. But God, you helped me. And if you have compromised, the grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. His grace is sufficient. You just go to God and repent and turn around 360 degrees and don't do it again. Because repentance means I will not do it again. It is so that you are not going to sin so that grace may abound. So you cannot compromise, repent. It doesn't work like that. But if you have compromised today, repent and never do it again. And say, God, I compromised once. And I'll never give my birthright to the enemy again. Praise the name of the Lord. Because our God is able. Praise the name of the Lord. Pastors, let me talk to them. How many pastors in the house? A pastor with a church who serves in a church. Pastors, you are the lead person in your church. You are the leader of the church. See, when God calls people, he calls a person. He called Abraham. He called Moses. He doesn't call a group. The vision is given to a person. You are the vision carrier in your church. The vision was not given to the elders. The elders support the vision. The vision is always given to one individual. But if the pastor does not know what the vision is, they should close their church because maybe they were not called. Praise the name of the Lord. Because we have pastors who have compromised over and over again. And Bishop talked about people are hurting in the church. You know what hurts the congregation? It's a pastor who compromises. Because it's sheep that are wounded and they don't know, even know where to go. Praise the name of the Lord. Pastors, the Bible says the teacher will be asked more than the other people. It's not easy to be a teacher of the word. Because when you go back to God, when you go to God, you're going to answer more than your congregation. You are the fathers and the mothers of your congregation. And churches are lacking dads and moms. Your people need to know that they have a mother and they have a father that they can go to. Praise the name of the Lord. I was counseling Kenyan singles. And I was so shocked when they told me when they need counseling, they call their pastors back in Kenya. They have to call Kenya when they are going to a church here, a Kenyan church. It's one thing if you are going to an American church and say, maybe they won't understand me. They are going to Kenyan churches, but they have to call home because they trust the pastor back home. Than they trust their pastors here. And you know why? I'm going to be very open. You want to be very open? Hallelujah. You know what they told me? And it was not one person, it was a whole group of young, beautiful, single Kenyans. Because when they go to counseling to their pastors, the pastors want to sleep with them. And that's why they call Kenya. Compromise. Compromise. You are going to your pastor as a daddy. You are going to your pastor as a daddy. But your pastor wants to sleep with you. So, for your own safety, you call Kenya every week, every month when you have a problem, because you can't go to your pastor. Shame on us as pastors. Hallelujah. Pastors, they will not like me again. But that's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's happening in American churches. It's happening in Kenyan churches. It's happening in... I went to Kenya in January to preach. Same thing you are talking, Bishop. Compromise. Pastors that I used to respect have compromised. Compromise. Because the enemy knows time is short. And that's why we need to be women and men of prayer. You know, the only thing that can break that spirit is prayer. It's prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray. Not just pray for yourself, pray for your pastor. Because the enemy knows, if I can hurt the pastor, I have scattered the sheep. That's why I say, before you talk about your pastor, have you prayed and fasted about them? If you haven't, don't talk about them. Because the enemy knows, if I strike the leader, then the church is gone. So please, God's people, we need to pray for the leaders, that God can sustain them, that they can stand steadfast in the work that God has given them. Because Christ is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. You only need to look at what is happening in the world. The tornadoes and the fires and things we have, the volcanoes. You know he's coming soon. But are we ready? The church is not ready. The church is not ready. That's the sad thing. But you as a person, are you ready? And can you help other people be ready? Can you help other people be ready for the coming of the Lord? You know one problem with our Kenyans? I can say that because I'm a Kenyan. One problem with our Kenyans, we are too nice. We don't like to tell people the truth. Let them get angry, but go where? To heaven. If I knew how to say it in the other languages in Kenya, I would have said it. I don't like using Kikuyu. If I knew how to say it in Luo, I would have. The only thing I know is Dakuyanza Muno in Luya. I don't know any other. Yeah, getting angry. Ask him. Angry. Gibuno. Ebrowang. Yeah, Ebrowang. Tell them Ebrowang. We don't care. Just get Ebrowang. We don't care. Because if you are so nice to people, let me tell you, on a really serious note, people are going to hell. And instead of really confronting them and telling them the truth, we are watching them, we gossip about them, but we don't confront them. We don't confront them. You can confront people with love. My brother, my sister, I love you, but you are going the wrong way. If they listen to you, it's fine. You've done your job. If they don't listen to you, abrorongo, what is the word? Whatever. Some of them will get angry and they will never talk to you. But before God, I confronted in love because I want you to come with me into the kingdom. It is a sin to watch people going to hell and all you do in your churches, in your fellowship, is talk behind their back. Confront them. Because some people can sustain, can run from temptation. There are other people that we have to hold by the hand so they can conquer the enemy. It is our work. We are in the army of the Lord. We have to carry the wounded. We have to carry those who are weak. You who are weak, those who are strong, that's what the Bible says. Carry those who are weak, isn't it? Kenyans, stop being so nice when people are going to hell. Because it's really not being nice, it's being a hypocrite. Because you are talking behind their back anyway, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah? Amen. Or you don't talk behind people's backs. You all look so nice and holy. Hallelujah? We all do. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the idea is confront people and tell them, I love you, my brother, I love you, my sister. But if this is what you are doing, this is not pleasing to God. And I'm here to stand with you. I'm here to help you overcome that. Because what happened is people ran away with the shame and they continue to do whatever because nobody cares about them. Please, let's not be so nice when people are going to hell. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That wasn't in my message, but I think you needed it. So Esau compromised and sold his birthright. So what birthright are you selling to the enemy because of your compromise? We have to focus on where God is taking us and where our destiny is. Where is your destiny in God? Where do you think you are going to be? You see, when it comes to our professional work, when I do interview for professors who are incoming, I ask them, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? And depending on what they answer, it means I'll hire them or not. It's the same thing. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years in the work of the Lord? Where do you see yourself? Doing nothing? Doing something? Having brought 100 people into the kingdom? Because really, your spiritual life matters more than your physical life. If we can plan for our physical life, why can't we plan for our spiritual life? Even as you save the $5 to go home because somebody is dead, plan about yourself. Am I right with God? If I died today, would I really go to heaven? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. One thing I like about God is that he doesn't look at my past. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Hallelujah. Am I the only sinner in the house who was saved by grace? Hallelujah. God does not look at where you came from. God does not look at what you have done. Once you are washed, a new chapter starts. But we have to walk in holiness, and we have to walk by faith. We have to leave our mess behind and look forward and never look back. This morning, I don't know what giants you are facing. What is hindering you from what you have been called to do? All you need is one stone that fully trusts the Lord. One stone of the Word, one stone of the Holy Spirit. And you will be able to conquer the giants in your life. As I was praying this morning about this meeting, the Lord told me that one of the problems we have among us is laziness. Laziness. Laziness, not laziness to go to work. Oh, we are the best. If you want to hire somebody, hire a Kenyan. They know that. Go to every nursing home. They'll hire you just because you are Kenyan. Do you know that? They love Kenyans. We are hardworking people. There's no doubt about that. So that's not the laziness that the Holy Spirit was talking about. The laziness in the things of God. We are lazy in the things of God. We are very good with secular things. We'll go and work doubles and triples and I don't know what. And we'll clock in on time. And if they don't care when you clock out, you stay every day 15 minutes so they would add up to money. We are very hardworking. But when it comes to the things of God, the Spirit of God says we are lazy. We are a lazy people. We do not like to pray. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We do not like to fast. We do not like to go to church on time. It's a sin to go to church in time in a Kenyan church. Amen? We are lazy people. We would rather have people pray for you than you praying for yourself. That laziness has to die today. Just like we give to our employers, we are going to give double to the Lord. Because that is what matters. See, the Bible says if we seek the kingdom, everything else will fall into place. All other things will be given to you. Just seek the kingdom. So that laziness has to die today. We're going to give God 100% of his time. We are going to give him 100% of the worship he deserves and the praise he deserves. Because we know if we do that, he's going to bless us. Because he is our daddy. Let's stand up in the house. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what giants you are facing this morning. But as I was praying, some of you have giants in your children. It has become a giant rebellion in the children that you don't know what to do. Some of you have giants of infirmities and diseases. Some of you have giants of you've tried something and there is no breakthrough. No breakthrough in finances, no breakthrough. Some of the giants are your marriages. They have become a giant. You do not know what to do. Some of the giants are disunity in the family. Not just the family in here, but even with your family back home. Disunity that is so demonic that you cannot even understand where it came from. That giant that is troubling you. That giant that looks like it's too big for you. Today, because of the power of the Holy Spirit and because of the blood of Jesus, that giant has to die. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you have giants that are like closed doors. It doesn't matter what you try. Other people try, it works. But for you, it's like a wall. Nothing seems to open for you. And if it opens, I'm talking to three people now. When the door opens, the moment you go through, it shuts again. So you are left wondering, was that God's will? Did I make a mistake? And every time you feel like you have a breakthrough, it still closes. Today that giant must die. That giant must die. The discord among spouses, husbands and wife, which has become demonic driven. It doesn't matter what you say, the other person misunderstands it. You may be saying something nice, but it still ends up in a quarrel. That demon has to die today. Kids who have become so rebellious, it doesn't matter what you tell them. They just want to do their own way. That has to die today. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah, Father God. If you have any of those giants that I've called out, please come to the altar. Thank you, Father God. As the praise seems, worships.